This week we enter a new phase in the story of the Jewish people with the rise of a new leader. Most people are familiar with the episode of Moshe and the burning bush, marking his first interaction with Hashem. Many may even be familiar with the back and forth Moshe and Hashem have, with Moshe at first politely refusing the call to lead the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, and eventually more forcefully claiming, "Bi Adonai, lo ish devarim anochi, gam mitmol, gam mishilshom, gam me'az dabercha lavdecha, ki chvad peh uchvad lashon anochi." Please Hashem, I've never been a man of words. Not yesterday, not the day before, and not now that you've spoken to your servant. I am, and this is literally translated, heavy-lipped and heavy-tongued. However, let me ask you now from Hashem's perspective. Why would he want Moshe, with his speech impediment, as a leader? As a harbinger of redemption? Think about the past leaders we saw in Sefer Bereishis. Avram was a great orator, bringing many to believe in monotheism. Yitzchak had an intensity of holiness and service to God, Pachad Yitzchak. Yaakov was a synthesis of these two, and he was learned, Yoshev Ohalim, and also able to deal with the troublemakers or cynics, the Lavans and Esavs that popped up. Yosef had beauty and charm to go with his visionary excellence and excel as viceroy of Egypt. But Moshe? Coming to save the Jewish people, stumbling over his word and unable to clearly communicate? What kind of a message would that send about Hashem and his threats? I recently heard Dr. David Pelkovitz share the following story about jazz pianist Keith Jarrett. In 1975, Keith went to Cologne, Germany to perform a concert. When he arrived the morning of the show, he found the piano that had been requisitioned for his use was smaller than what he was used to, sorely out of tune, and some of the keys didn't even work properly. To top it off, he'd just driven 5 hours from a previous performance and was going on several sleepless nights and severe back pain. He approached the concert producer, a 17-year-old girl, and said, "I can't do this. There's no way with the condition the piano's in. I'm sorry." The girl, Vera Brandis, refused to take no for an answer and convinced him to do it anyway. They tuned it as well as they could, but it was still off, and parts of the piano still didn't work. Keith proceeded to perform what is referred to as his most memorable concert ever, and to date it's still the best-selling piano album of all time, referred to as the Cologne Concert, with over 4 million copies sold. Dr. Pelkovitz suggests, based on research, that when faced with challenge, if we succeed and make it through the challenge, the struggle of overcoming that adversity makes us stronger and creates greatness. And that's why Keith's concert was so successful, because it required him to fully throw himself into his playing that night, using creativity and razor-sharp focus, with the result a legacy and a masterpiece. So why would Hashem want Moshe as his leader and messenger? Some Mefarshim, like the Ramban, explain that Hashem would have healed Moshe's disability, but Moshe never davened for it. Others explain that Hashem was planning on doing the talking through Moshe's body, and therefore it would have been a clear miracle, since everyone knew generally Moshe had a speech impediment. Still others, like Rabbeinu Bechaye, explain that Moshe's speech impediment was limited to certain letters that are impacted by the burns Moshe received when he put the burning coal in his mouth as a baby, as the Medrash says. Zayin, Shin, Tzadik, Reish, Samech, those are all teeth sounds. Go ahead and try it. Hence the Kaved Peh. And Dalet, Tes, Lamed, Nun, Tuf, those are all tongue sounds. Hence the Kaved Lashon. The Barbanel explains, based on this, that Hashem was planning on putting the right words in Moshe's mouth, Ve'anochi ehayeh impicha, meaning he would have Moshe say words that didn't call upon using any of these letters. Sort of like Rabbi Mo Murnik shares about his stuttering disability, which he's often able to overcome by word switching or replacing a word he would stutter over with a safer synonym. All of these answers are great, but I want to share a fourth explanation, which comes from a little bit of a different angle. until now, we've assumed and viewed Moshe's Kaved Peh and Kaved Lashon as something negative, as a detriment and deterrent to sending him as the Shliach, and that the words themselves would sound funny because of the disability. But what if that challenge was actually something Moshe used positively? Targum Onklis, which is often just thought of as an Aramaic translation of the Torah, is really in and of itself a commentary, sometimes teaching us based on how he translates a word or phrase. Listen to how he translates Kaved Peh v'Kaved Lashon. Yakir Mamlol v'Amik Lishon. Yakir can be like Yakar, that he values his words, which by the way is also suggested by the Sefer Be'eras Hamayim, which is Torah from Rabbi Nachum Mendel of Rimanov, and Amik, that he provides depth to his speech. Perhaps what Unklis is explaining is that Moshe was saying, Hashem, my speech impediment, this challenge that you gave me, causes me to think more carefully before I speak and value every word I say. I know that generally that's admirable, but in this case, I'm afraid if I try to speak to Paro or the Jewish people and I'm not able to reply quickly, instead considering how to say it more slowly, it'll be viewed as a sign of weakness and I won't be able to hold their interest. You should really send someone else who's more deft at speaking. However, this is the very reason that Hashem had chosen Moshe, because of this challenge with speaking. It forced him to work harder and be more precise and careful with what he said, and valued every word spoken. To make a memorable concert on an out-of-tune piano. And that's essentially what Hashem responds to Moshe. Who do you think puts the words in a person's mouth? It's me, Hashem, and I'll help you and I'll guide you what to say. Meaning Hashem could help Moshe speak more quickly and eloquently, enabling Moshe to create rapport on this important mission. We find that Moshe excelled at overcoming challenges earlier in life as well. The pasuk tells us, "Vayigdal Moshe vayetze el echav." Literally translated, it means when Moshe got older, he went out to his Jewish brethren in the fields. However, Rav Zalman Sarutzkin in Oznaim LaTorah says the Torah is not merely telling us a historical timeline of when Moshe went out to the fields, that he went out to the fields when he got older, but rather it's descriptive of Moshe's growth in leadership. Vayigdal Moshe, that Moshe became great. When did he become great? Vayetze el echav, when he left the solace and solitude of the palace and instead ventured out to help his brethren. That's what caused Moshe's greatness, going outside his comfort zone, and that's what made him into a great leader. We may not all have a piano in our homes or difficulty speaking, Baruch Hashem, but we all have out-of-tune piano moments in our lives. We can either throw in the towel and give up or become a great leader like Moshe. Who knows? Maybe that defining moment will become a memorable masterpiece and turning point in our life, creatively and beautifully playing the song called Life with broken keys and a heavy mouth. Shabbat Shalom.